Chapter 10. Fire Safety. There are a number of hazards in the woodshop that are unique. In many ways, they are more dangerous than other sources of fire in the home, such as kitchens and garages, the two top problem areas in most homes. In no particular order, these are 1. Combustible dust. Wood boards, chunks, pieces just burn and are easily controlled with extinguishers. In a worst-case scenario, it's easy to get away from. Run. In contrast, combustible dust in an unconfined area flashes and ignites nearby flammable surfaces, potentially setting fire to large portions or all of your shop. Combustible dust in confined areas, such as small rooms, dust collectors, paint booths, and tool enclosures, explodes. Combustible dust explosions kill people. They are a top safety concern of OSHA with recent high-profile incidents, such as the sugar plant explosion in Georgia. It doesn't take much dust to do it either. As little as 1 pound floating around your shop in the air can provide the perfect fuel-to-air ratio for an explosion. The fact that many shops are in basements, utility rooms, and garages where there are ignition sources such as water heaters and furnaces nearby, as well as unshielded tools and frayed cords arcing, is the perfect recipe for disaster. Sources of combustible dust in the wood shop include sawdust, dust collectors, metal dust if you're into metalworking, and lint paper products. The best defense against combustible dust is good housekeeping. Clean up after yourself and don't let dust accumulate. Try to do your woodworking away from possible sources of ignition and open flames, such as pilot lights. Many will argue for dust collection in the shop. A well-implemented dust collection system can minimize the risk. However, dust collectors pose special hazards of their own. Dust collector explosions can occur when a burning bit of sawdust gets introduced to a huge bag of floating dust inside the collector. Most dust collector fires in industrial settings get out of hand when the dust collector ignites and explodes. Then, because of bad housekeeping, all the dust moves outside the collector, shaken up and sent airborne by the dust collector popping. It gets ignited by the dust collector explosion. 2. Paint stain spray in the air and build up on surfaces. If you want to make something really damn hard to put out when it catches on fire, put about 10 coats of old paint or poly on it. Spray painting creates the same hazards as combustible dust when in the air. Use a paint booth or spray outside. Clean up your mess. 3. Metalworking. Metalworking creates metal shavings and dust. Metal shavings and dust burn when they get hot, and metalworking is known to create heat. If you have a metal fire, you can't put it out with a common class ABC dry chemical fire extinguisher. They burn ridiculously hot, so you might not even be able to approach them to drag whatever it is burning out of your shop. Spraying water on metal fires usually causes an explosion. They burn so hot that they catalyze the water into hydrogen and oxygen, a flammable gas and an oxidizer to accelerate combustion, causing a violent ignition. If you work on metal with any regularity and don't have a Class D fire extinguisher handy, then you're asking for your house to be burned down. Most municipal fire departments, and especially rural volunteer departments, are ill-equipped to handle a metal fire. At the very least, you need to have a bucket of sand nearby so you can cover up and slow the combustion process. Try to prevent radiant heat ignition of the rest of your shop until the fire department arrives. 4. Oily rags. Oily rags, which contain oil, finishes, or paint, go through a process of biological and chemical decomposition that creates heat. This decomposition occurs everywhere, even in rags sitting exposed on your workbench. This is a tiny amount of heat. It normally just dissipates in the air and is not even noticed. The problem comes when they are stored in a closed container with other oily rags. The heat can't escape. It speeds up decomposition when the heat can't escape, which in turn creates more heat. This, in turn, speeds up decomposition until the rags reach the auto-ignition temperature of the rags or chemical they contain, causing them to spontaneously ignite. The scary thing about this is you don't have to be in your shop for it to happen. You can do your finishing, go to bed or work, then, 8 hours later when you're sound asleep, the rags can reach ignition temperature. This can light your house on fire. It might take days for rags to reach ignition temperature. And having your house burned down while you're at work really sucks from what I've heard. At the minimum, you should store oily rags separate from other waste and remove them from your house when you're done. A metal can with a tight-fitting lid is better. It can contain a fire and starve any that might start out of oxygen. Best still is an OSHA-approved container that is rated for storing oily rags. They really aren't that expensive when you think about what is at risk, your home and your family. Location. Where a fire starts in your home has a lot to do with if the fire department is going to be able to save your house and everything you own. The two absolute worst places for a fire to start? The basement and the garage. Where are many home workshops located? The basement and the garage. You have about a 50-50 chance of losing your home when a fire starts in the basement, and even more so if your basement is below grade. Basement fires are hard to approach. Heat rises, so a firefighter going down a staircase to the basement is going to get cooked. She or he may not be able to make it. Basement fires compromise the floor structure of the first level of your home, making firefighter entry into your home a dangerous proposition. Some fire departments won't even enter a home when there's a basement fire burning. They don't want to see their men step on a soft spot on the floor and fall through into an inferno. Garage fires are dangerous for obvious reasons. People store flammable stuff in garages: paint, gas, chemicals, cars full of gas, etc. If garage fires are not quickly controlled, then they can quickly burn out of control. Most garages are attached to houses in the U.S. The rest of the house is just one minimum code requirement wall away. What can you do to minimize risk? Those are the major threats. Here's what you can do to minimize the risk. 1. Have a fire extinguisher appropriate to the materials in your shop. You should have, as a minimum, a 5-pound Class ABC dry chemical fire extinguisher in your shop. You should have one in the garage and kitchen, too. If you're working with metals, you should have some Class D extinguishing agents nearby. If anyone is wondering what the fire classes are, they are as follows. Class A, ordinary combustibles, wood, paper, etc. Class B, liquid fuel fires, paint, stain, gas, etc. Class C, energized electrical fires, power tools, wiring shorts, etc. Class D, metals fires. Number 2, clean up after yourself. 90% of workshop-related fire threats can be negated by cleaning up after yourself. Dirty shop is not just messy, it's unsafe. Your mama was right when she told you to clean your room. Regularly clean up dust after working with wood products. Clean up spray booths and ventilate after spraying finishes. Take out your trash and store oily rags properly. Number 3, look around and realize what your hazards are in your shop. We call this a pre-plan in the fire department, and most business locations have one on file with the department, so they know what they're walking into when they approach a fire. As a home workshop user, you can do your own to recognize the hazards and minimize the risk. Do you have a pilot light nearby that could light dust the next time you're sanding? Do you have frayed cords or overloaded outlets that can arc and start a fire? Do you have exposed electrical wiring? Do you have a pile of oily rags in the corner by your wood pile? What can you do to minimize the risk to your home and family? Everyone whose house burnt down never thought it could happen to them. Still, one day, everything they owned, their pictures, their memories, their pets, and sometimes even their family members, were gone. Nearly every house fire I've been to could have been prevented. You owe it to yourself and your family to take a minute and minimize the risk of fire. Number 4, install a fire alarm. Really, this is a no-brainer. You should have a fire alarm in your shop, in your kitchen, and in your garage if it's different from your shop. Additionally, have a smoke alarm outside every bedroom on every story of your home. Central monitoring is great if you can afford it, but at the very least, get one that will go off and wake you and your family up if there is a fire. Chapter 11, Personal Safety. The workshop is not the place to be careless. It's the place to learn and adopt good safety working habits. This, in turn, will make woodworking more fun and enjoyable. 1. Always wear safety equipment. This might seem like common sense, but it's important to remember. Wearing ear protection is a noted advantage during usage of loud power tools like routers and surface planers. Similarly, wear latex gloves while applying finishes. Never be without your safety glasses. These should be the first things you reach for when entering the shop. Also, know where both of your hands are at all times in relation to such things as saw blades. This safety rule applies with any type of equipment with which you are using. 2. Wear the right clothes. Wearing baggy or loose clothes increases the chance that a part of them might get caught in a cutting head or saw blade. As a result, try to wear clothes that match the woodworking environment while also protecting you. This ensures that any dangling jewelry or metal, such as chains or bracelets, are removed before commencing work. Dust and lungs don't go well together either. Wear a mask to keep them apart. 3. Avoid using anything that can impair your reaction time and judgment. It's like when you're driving a car. You want to stay out of the alcohol and drug cabinets to avoid accidents. In the wood shop, the dangers are even higher by inadvertently using the wrong tool because you're too out of it to see what you're doing wrong. Never mix alcohol with work, even if it's just a beer or 10. 4. Disconnect power. Always remember to disconnect the power source before changing blades or bits on your power tools. Additionally, make sure there is no electricity being powered to the tool. The switch can malfunction and/or accidentally get turned on. 5. Use a single extension cord. Using one heavy-duty extension cord for all your power tools will ensure that you switch off the power for each tool. Too many cords can get confusing and be a tripping hazard. 6. Never use blunt blades and bits. This might seem obvious since a dull cutting tool can still be dangerous. Dull tools must work harder to cut. As a result, they can bind or kick back. Sharp bits and blades will ensure cleaner cuts as well. 7. Check stock for existing metal. Before sawing through or making a cut, ensure that the piece of stock doesn't have existing nails, screws, or other pieces of metal lodged into it already. Spinning blades and nails and other pieces of metal don't mix well together, causing damage to both the stock and the cutting head. It can also cause stock to kick back and cause injury, so always ensure or use a metal detector to ensure for you that the stock is clean. 8. Work against the cutter. Most power tools are built in a way that requires the direction by which a piece of wood moves through the tool. This is the opposite direction of the cutting head's movement. So, you need to ensure that the blade or router bit cuts against the motion of the wood instead of with it. 9. Never reach over a running blade. Always wait until a spinning blade has stopped moving before reaching in order to remove waste or cutoffs. To be on the extremely safe side, remove waste by using a push stick or scrap wood. This ensures an inadvertent power tool switch malfunction and therefore it doesn't turn deadly. 10. Minimize distractions. When dealing with distractions, you want to ensure that you finish what you were doing, finishing a cut, especially working with a power tool, before turning your attention elsewhere. Conclusion. I hope all the information by which I've provided motivates many to set up a woodworking shop. Mine has given me hours of enjoyment. I'm sure that yours will too. Bonus. Let's call this section a bonus. I put together a list of the resources that I personally use. I think these will help you become a better woodworker, and you should find this material helpful. Equipment and supplies sources. Rockler, www.rockler.com, www.rockler.com. I probably buy the bulk of my supplies from Rockler for several reasons. First, they have some really good sales. They frequently offer free shipping. I really appreciate that since most of my orders are fairly heavy. Second, they've been in business since 1954, offering outstanding and top-notch customer service. I just got my copy of the Master Catalog. This 195-page catalog has just about everything you could want or need for your shop. I'm sure they'd be happy to mail you one. Simply call 1-800-279-4441 and ask for it. I receive a monthly catalog from them in addition to this issue, which is sent out annually. Woodcraft. www.woodcraft.com. Fortunately for me, they have a store where I reside, and I do shop there frequently. In fact, they have 70 locally owned stores nationwide. They too have a great catalog. You can get your copy of it by calling 1-800-225-1153 or simply visit their website and request it. They hold a lot of classes. They carry much the same things as Rockler, although these days I tend to do more shopping online than in person. I get a sale flyer from there every few weeks. I've found some really good bargains in those. They are knowledgeable and helpful people with whom to get acquainted if you have a store locally. Most of the employees I've met are fellow woodworkers. Highland Woodworking. www.highlandwoodworking.com. www.highlandwoodworking.com. This Atlanta, Georgia-based company has been in business since 1978. They have a 72-page catalog, but it's not as glitzy as Rockler and Woodcraft. I found them a great source for higher-end hand tools. This is a store you should visit if you happen to live in Atlanta. They're located at 1045 North Highland Avenue Northeast. Their toll-free number is 1-800-241-6748. They also offer a lot of great-sounding classes for what I consider to be reasonable fees. Eagle America. www.eagleamerica.com. www.eagleamerica.com. This is the best source I've found for routers, router bits, and router supplies. They pride themselves as the world's router bit source. I couldn't agree more. They have an 87-page catalog that you can get by calling them. This is a must-have if you're into routing. Traditional Woodworker. www.traditionalwoodworker.com. www.traditionalwoodworker.com. You have come to the right place if you're looking for woodworking tools that are of good quality and reasonably priced. This family-owned and operated company stands behind their tools. They have a lot of carving tools, chisels, hand planes, and spoke shaves, together with some really top-notch items, adzes, axes, and hatchets. It's located in Richardson, Texas. 1-800-509-0081. MLCS Woodworking. www.mlcswoodworking.com. www.mlcswoodworking.com. This company only sells router-related items. They have a great catalog, which you can request by calling 1-800-533-9298. They may also have more router bits than Eagle America, but all they sell is router-related items. They're based in Pennsylvania. McFeely's. www.mcfeelys.com. www.mcfeelys.com. McFeely's specializes in screws, while Eagle America and MLCS specialize in routers. I never knew there were so many choices. I'll bet they carry it if it's a threaded fastener. They also carry a fair amount of power tools, DeWalt, Bosch, Porter Cable, Dremel, etc., and a fatly broad selection of other useful items. I've purchased a lot of fasteners from them, 42 pages worth in the last catalog. 1-800-443-7937. Garrett Wade. www.garrettwade.com. www.garrettwade.com. GW has been in business since 1975. They're located in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can get their catalog by requesting it online or by calling 1-800-221-2942. They offer woodworking tools, shop tools, home and office tools, and outdoor tools. This is one of the most diverse selections of any company with which I've dealt. They are highly recommended. Harbor Freight Tools. www.harborfreight.com. www.harborfreight.com. I've not seen a catalog from them, but they do put out lots of flyers. I seldom get a Sunday paper without one. Great shipping policies and a broad selection. We have several stores where I live. Fortunately, they are all across town. My saving grace, I kid you not. I cannot go into one of their stores and walk out empty-handed. Seriously. Northern Tool. www.northerntool.com. www.northerntool.com. They tend to specialize in somewhat heavier items than I normally buy, therefore carrying a lot of the things that a person would use in an automotive shop. Still, they do carry some woodworking items. They have a huge catalog and 90 locations around the country. You can request a catalog on their website or by calling 1-800-221-0516.